Janet is going to lead our service in place of Dave, and we're very, very grateful for that. Our theme, as you can see, is another question Jesus asked: do you love me? But just to let you know that the waiting room is happening on the 18th, which is this Wednesday. I got it wrong last week. 7 o'clock, do join us for a time of quiet here in church. Messy Church is on the day after, Thursday the 19th of October, and that's for children and families at 3:30. Ladies, there's a breakfast at 9 a.m. next Saturday at the Lounge Alturo in Malvern, wherever that is, I'm not quite sure. But you will know. So let's prepare ourselves to worship now as I hand over to Janet.
I've just been given the cue, so I can go. So welcome everybody to All Saints this morning, to those who are here on in church with me, to those who are live streaming, and also to those who are going to join this service of worship later in the week at some stage. During our service, we will be sharing communion. And if you're online now, you might like to get some bread and some wine or juice and share symbolically with us so that we can do that together a bit later in the service. Just a reminder that when the words go up on the screen, that all the words in white we say together. And today we're finishing, as you can see, the series on questions Jesus asked. And we're going to look at quite an important question, really, that Jesus asks Peter: do you love me? And the thing is, you know, Jesus could ask each one of us that same question as well. Do you love me? So as we enter this time of worship in the Lord's presence, please stand as we say together some words from Psalm 99. But don't take a breath yet to speak out. We're going to do it three times, and we're going to do it different each time. So if you just spend a moment just reading those words quietly to yourself. And now we've come together as the body of Christ to worship. So let's say these words, but remembering that there's others around us and encouraging each other to worship the Lord as well. So we say together, praise the Lord our God, worship before his throne, for he is holy. And a third time, somewhere else in the Bible, it says about speaking to yourself. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to speak these words to ourselves, but out loud, to encourage us as an individual in worship as well. So, praise the Lord our God, worship before his throne, for he is holy. Janet has got too many things on her mind. and forgot to transpose the instrument. So it's going to be a little bit lower because we're going to go up a little bit for the last verse. So we've got the... Yes, we've got the first verse on again. Sorry about the chaos, but let's go. I'll do the intro again. Please remain standing as we declare aloud our faith and what we believe in God. And together we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. We're going to prepare our hearts before our holy God. Let's think about the lives that we've lived over these last days of the week. hear the words of comfort our Saviour Christ says to all who truly turn to him. Come to me, all who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Hear what St. Paul says. This saying is true and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And together we say, Father eternal, giver of light and grace, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour in what we have thought, in what we have said and done, through ignorance, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We have wounded your love and marred your image in us. We are sorry and ashamed and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past and lead us out from darkness to walk as children of light. Amen. And let's say together, as an absolution, as it were, but reminding ourselves of some verses that we looked at a couple of months ago in Colossians chapter 1. This verse comes from verse 13, and we say together, encouraging each other to realise that we have been forgiven by our great God. So, God has saved us from the kingdom of darkness. He has brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. Because of what the Son has done, we have been set free. Because of him, all our sins have been forgiven. And I'd like to now invite you to stand as we sing together of that forgiveness.
I'm alive.
Please be seated as Jean comes to bring our reading to us.
The reading is from John 21, starting at verse 1. It's on page 1090 in the Church Bible. 1090. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not notice it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciples, whom Jesus loved, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his other garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." This is the word of the Lord.
Well, the Reverend Mark Slater, who's one of our retired clergy within the team, was actually due to be with us this morning to open up that passage. He can't be with us today. However, he has recorded a message for us so we can hear him bringing those words to life, as it were.
Let's pray for a moment. Lord Jesus, we thank you that by the power of your Spirit, you meet us as we are in this place this morning. May you bring your word alive to our hearts. Above all, bring your love alive in who we are and how we share it in the world around us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So our theme for this morning is, do you love me? So I want to talk about this understanding of love that I hope we have, and obviously what's most important, what's most powerful, and indeed life-changing for us in this love. I'm going to begin with a story, somebody I know called Terry. Well, Terry was part of our church, but he seemed to have very few friends. It was not easy for him to make friends or to be friends, and I just wonder, how easy to love other people did he find it? And the thing is this, he was a Christian and had a living faith as far as I could tell. But the real question was, and I asked him of Terry, Terry, do you love Jesus? How much do you love Jesus? Do you really love him? Well, it was a good question, and I have to say to you, it wasn't clear to me what he thought the answer to that question was. I'm really not quite sure how good a grasp he had about its meaning for his own faith in his own life. So together this morning, can we talk together about love? What is this love? What sort of love do you have for other people? Most importantly, what is the love that you have for Jesus? What sort of love do you believe is the most important aspect of your faith, your relationship with Jesus, and of course with other people? For love is not something that we just have. Love is always about relationship. And above all else, it's about our relationship with the living Jesus through his Spirit. My key question is this, do you love me? Well, we could explore this question in all sorts of ways. I could ask it of you. You could ask it of me. The real issue is of Jesus to his disciples, asking them. To his disciples, he would say, do you love me? In particular, Jesus asked that of his closest disciples, John and Peter. It's a question for us too, of course. It's a question for all of us. Do we love Jesus? How much do we love him? What sort of love do we have for him? Do we really love Jesus? I'll have to say, I need regularly to ask myself, Mark, do you love me, Jesus? Do you truly love me? I imagine Jesus saying about me and to me. Well, Jesus had spent 3 years with his disciples, teaching them to love him as he loved them. What was that like? What did those 12 disciples experience as they walked and talked with Jesus over those 3 years? I have this strong sense that it was a very important time for them as they got to know Jesus, and of course he knew them. And over those 3 years, how they walked together and talked together, it was just such a significant time for them all, thinking of all the times they spent together apart from, as it were, the rest of the world, their local community. How important it was that they grew together in understanding, in faith, and in love. I think it was a very significant time for them, a time of growing in their understanding, and especially understanding of Jesus as, well, let's face it, God become man. Jesus, divine in nature, but come among them as a real, ordinary person. The passage in John 21 is a lovely account of the risen Jesus meeting with his disciples. The disciples had first met Jesus over an evening meal that first Easter day. What a moment it was when he came amongst them and he shared that meal with them. How slow they were to recognise that Jesus was alive and risen again. Well now, it was perhaps a couple of weeks after the resurrection and the disciples must have been in some turmoil. It was an almost unbelievable experience to encounter Jesus after his clear and evident death. So what would happen next? Well, there was one occasion, 2-3 weeks after Jesus was raised from the dead, that seven of those disciples went fishing one night. They got into their boat. They spent the time on the Lake of Galilee all night. And what a fruitless night it was. They caught nothing. It was completely futile night. What a waste of time. But early in the morning, Jesus appeared by the shore of the Lake of Galilee, at that time unrecognized by the disciples. And Jesus said to them, "Throw the nets over the opposite side of the boat." And they did so. And as those nets were thrown out, a huge haul of fish, too big to bring to the boat, was caught by those nets. Then the disciples quickly realized, this is Jesus at the shore. They were so eager to see him again. And then some important things happened, particularly with John, the one who loved Jesus, as we often say, and Peter. And John said to Peter, "It is the Lord." And so they jumped from the boat into the water and reached the shore. There Jesus had already kindled a fire. Disciples brought fish to be cooked. Jesus invited the disciples to come and have breakfast and, of course, the fish together. And by now, there's no question that needed to be answered. Nobody said to Jesus, "Who are you?" They knew who he was. They knew it was him, Jesus, the risen Lord. There was a key question then that Jesus asked Simon Peter, and he said this, "Peter, do you truly love me more than these?" And Peter replies, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." Again, Jesus repeats it to Peter. "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" Peter replies, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." And yet a third time, Jesus asked Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter replies once again, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus again replies, "Feed my sheep." It seems that that was just a really important moment for Jesus and for Peter. It's not that Peter didn't know or understand, but there was that challenge from Jesus to him, both about who he was and what his future was going to be. Because Peter, of course, became the head of the church. But it was so important to ask that question. Do you love me? Do you truly love me, Peter? And it was a response that, yeah, of course he knew that. But the truth was going deeper and deeper into his spirit. Well, Peter was hurt by Jesus repeatedly asking, "Do you love me?" And the thing is this. Jesus was pushing Simon Peter to a deeper and deeper understanding of love. A self-giving, sacrificial love. Not love of Jesus as a friend, but the love of God, who himself is perfect love himself. Without God, our love can be good, but never as deep and powerful as the love of God for us and our love for him. Those apostles became founding lovers of the way, the early church. It was a wonderful change in the lives of a growing number of people. The early church blossomed as people turned publicly to a living faith in Jesus. And of course, Pentecost was a brilliant moment in the life of those earliest disciples. 5,000 people came to faith in that one day, the day of Pentecost. I wonder how often you and I consider the wonder, the depth and significance of our love, our agape love, our greatest love for Jesus. Jesus' desire of our love for him, not just love between family or friends, but it's a deep and a meaningful love. And of course, there are different sorts of love. And I wonder what sorts of love you know and have as part of your life. For example, every sort of love is about relationships. There's the friendship love. There's a love of a parent for their children. There's romantic love. How important and valuable and beautiful that can be. There's a love of ourselves. But there's one key type of love that's greater and more significant than all others. It's the love that Jesus and the disciples had for each other. How much they valued agape love. That sacrificial love, that self-sacrificial love of another person. Love based on will, not of desire, based upon choice to care for another out of a humble spirit and have a deep sense of concern for the other, for the stranger, for people who we don't know, but who need to know that they are deeply valued and loved. Well, nevertheless, the reality was that, as the Apostle Paul made clear, all of us, then and today, Christians or not, were people who fell very short of what God wanted, short of a deep, personal, Christ-centered love for God, as it is for us today. We all fall short of God's desire for us. It's so natural and normal in many ways that we let God down so much. We simply cannot become good enough by the good things we do and the bad things we sometimes do and sometimes try to avoid. We simply do not deserve to be God's children. Except in this. It is by, and only by, that wonderful word, grace, that God fully accepted them and today accepts us and sees us as his beloved children, his beloved people. So it is in that place of grace that we are deeply loved by God and that God calls us, loves us, to be people who have a real, selfless Christian love for others, that deepest love. And it's not just a love that just comes from our hearts, it comes from our minds. It's a choosing to offer that love, to give that love, to be that love in a relationship with those who need it. It's in that place of grace that God calls us not just to be a people of love, but to be people who show love deeply to others. People who, by our very nature, desire to show a true love, a selfless love, to those who need to know that they are loved, especially anyone who is lonely or struggling in their lives. People who care, need care, people who need help or even struggling for a reason even to live. How important it is that that love, that selfless love, that sacrificial love is something that can be shown when we as Christians meet other people in our lives and our community. It is such a precious thing to know and to live by. Don't you think? You know, don't you? It is so precious. It is just so wonderful. And it's that unshakable love that God has for us that surely grows in us with that real desire that we show it to God and to others in return. A little while ago, I found myself trying to show Christian love for a young woman called, I'll call her Dawn. It was a real choice I made. I had to make it. It was a choice I made to give this woman, Dawn, time and space so that she might know that she is a real human being who is known and loved. Somebody with personality, life and hope. But you know, in my early days of meeting with her, it was very tough for her. and uncertain for me, not knowing how she was going to respond. But respond she did. It was a sacrifice of my time and others, and my new and growing relationship began to develop, and eventually brought Dawn to a real sense of being cared about, cared for, valued, and loved in a truly Christian way. So it was just a little time after that, as her faith began to be kindled in and come to life, after I'd met her, that she came to a very clear Christian faith. What a beautiful thing it was. And later she blossomed into Christian ministry in the church of which I was then part. What a wonderful thing that was for her to discover that and to begin to live the Christian life as she did and as she grew through it. It's a great story. So the key question for you and me is this. In our daily lives, how truly, deeply do we know, and more importantly, show our love for Jesus in our walk with others? The risen Jesus asked Simon Peter that question 3 times. The risen Lord Jesus even now puts that question to you and me in our everyday lives. Remember, it's not a question though about everyday love. The question is about our love as Christians, agape love, true, godly love, love that depends not on our feelings, but on our wills, our choices, our choosing to show Christian love, agape love, to another person or other people who really need to know that they are cared for, that they are valued, and maybe in great need of help. And it's when we can show the highest form of love, agape love, selfless, self-giving love, that people experience the wonder of God's grace, his healing, and his active concern for them, which makes possible that transformation of agape love in their lives. In very real and practical ways, this is, for example, about what happens when I'm face to face with someone. I may or may not know them. Sometimes it is a stranger. But my love, my agape love, is what happens as we sit together. Maybe we talk, maybe we share, but it's the conversation, it's all that happens between us that lovingly, deeply, honestly, in our openness with each other, in a Christ-like way, that begins a transformation in that person that comes through our conversation. It's just such a gift when we can simply be with somebody to listen. And maybe talk as they share from their lives and their feelings, their pain and all that's going on. And as that happens between us, as we sit together or walk together, God is at work. God, by his Spirit, works in both our lives, but helping the other person both to find life again, purpose, meaning, value, being valued. What a gift it becomes as that conversation happens with God working by his Spirit in our midst. So I just invite you for a few moments, just as we sit together in stillness, invite you to take to heart what you have heard God speaking this morning, in our time together. The God who, by the Holy Spirit, is able to touch us deeply with the truth of the love God has for us and the love that we have in Jesus Christ, a love which at its highest and best is an agape love that the Lord of all wants us to share with those around us, and especially those with needs of many sorts, hurts, difficulties, struggles. For a few moments, just in the silence and stillness, allow God to touch your heart, to speak to you, as I trust God has been speaking through us this morning. a few moments just to let God speak to you personally.
So Jesus meets with Peter and asks him three times, "Do you love me?" Reinstating Peter from the three times that he had denied Jesus. And it's just so lovely, from that point onwards, Peter's life was one of true dedication and love of his Lord. May we too love and commit ourselves to his service. As a response, you may wish to stand or to remain seated for these next couple of songs. Or indeed, you may feel it right simply to read the words rather than to sing them as a silent reflection. I'll ask Paul to come and lead us in a time of prayer.
This week, I suspect for many of us, our thoughts and prayers have been dominated by the awful events in Israel and Gaza. So this morning, our intercessions will focus on the conflict in the Middle East. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear us when we pray in faith. Lord God, our hearts cry out in pain at the suffering we are witnessing in Israel and Gaza. It seems humankind continues to find new depths of inhumanity to impose on others, and we can't understand how such wickedness can arise, why the slaughter of innocents is celebrated or attempts are made to justify it. We are struck low by it all, and we feel our hearts sink and wonder how on earth it will end. But it is in those depths that we find you, Lord, our hope and our Saviour. And we thank you that despite the horrors we hear about and see, that we can trust in you, that your promises are faithful, and that one day you will restore order to this broken world. As David writes in Psalm 62, my soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I shall never be shaken. And as we read this week in Wednesday prayers, the Lord frustrates the ways of the wicked, from Psalm 146. So we pray for those who have lost loved ones in the conflict. Comfort all who mourn and all who are waiting to hear news of missing loved ones. We pray for the thousands who have been injured, for the many who have lost their homes and seen their way of life destroyed and are now displaced. We pray for those trying to treat the wounded in desperate circumstances, and pray for the souls of those who have lost their lives trying to help the victims of the fighting. And we pray for those who have been taken hostage, for their families in despair, and ask that those held captive will soon be released unharmed. We pray for a miraculous de-escalation of this conflict, asking for reason to overcome rage and revenge. Give boldness and compassion to Christians on both sides to shine the light of Christ in their communities. May your will be done, and may your loving kindness be evident to all. We ask that you will empower and embolden those seeking to broker an end to the conflict, for world leaders urging the warring parties to show restraint and abide by the conventions set up to protect innocent people caught up in war. And we pray too that those who see an opportunity to widen the conflict in pursuit of their own deadly ends will be frustrated and denied. And we pray that this terrible episode will spur on those striving to find a permanent solution to a conflict that has been simmering for so long. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And perhaps while our focus is on the conflict in the Middle East, let us not forget that others in the world continue to suffer the ravages of war. We pray for the peoples of Ukraine and Yemen, and for the many countries in Africa where armed militias are terrorizing the inhabitants. Lord, we ask you to bless the peacemakers and to frustrate the wicked and restore your world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And we pray for those who are sick or receiving treatment. Pray especially for our sisters Shirley and Janet as they recover from their treatment. And we pray for those from our church family who are physically unable to come to church, particularly holding Frank, Shirley Noble, Janice and Sheila up to you this morning, Lord. And in a moment of silence, we bring before you in our hearts those known only to us who are in need of your healing and love. Bless all who are anxious or distressed. Comfort and relieve them in their need and bring good out of their troubles. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We say together, Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Together we pray. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Would you please stand for the peace? The risen Christ came and stood among his disciples and said, Peace be with you. And they were glad when they saw the Lord. Hallelujah. The peace of the Lord be with you. Let us just turn and show a sign of peace.
Peace to everyone that I can't get to. through this next song, we're going to remind ourselves of the vastness of God's love for us. Thank you.
Would you please be seated? The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Almighty God, good Father to us all, your face is turned towards your world. In love, you gave us Jesus, your Son, to rescue us from sin and death. Your word goes out to call us home to the city where angels sing your praise. We join with them in heaven's song. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Father of all, we give you thanks for every gift that comes from heaven. To the darkness, Jesus came as your light. With signs of faith and words of hope, he touched untouchables with love and washed the guilty clean. The crowds came out to see your son, yet at the end they turned on him. On the night he was betrayed, he came to table with his friends to celebrate the freedom of your people. Jesus blessed you, Father, for the food. He took bread and gave you thanks and said, "This is my body given for you all." Jesus then gave thanks for the wine. He took the cup, gave it and said, "This is my blood shed for you all for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, with this bread and this cup, we celebrate the cross on which he died to set us free. Defying death, he rose again and is alive with you to plead for us and all the world. Send your Holy Spirit on us now, that by these gifts we may feed on Christ with opened eyes and hearts on fire. Amen. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body because we all share in one bread. Draw near with faith, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. The thank you prayer. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen.
So we thought much of love this morning. Jesus' love for Peter, Jesus' love for us. And as our worship draws to a close, please stand as we sing of the divine love that God has for each one of us.
Thanks to the Lord. Let's say the words together on the screen now. Together we say, all things come from you, and of your own do we give you. Please sit or kneel for the blessing. And we're encouraged to open our hands and hearts to receive God's blessing now. If you would like prayer, there will be folk at the back to pray with you. But now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit rest upon you and remain with you always. Amen. So let's now go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ.